Blog Talk Radio.
And that'll be my cue, everyone. Welcome to This Week in Health Innovation. I'm your producer and co-host of the show, Greg Masters. And joining me, as always, my partner, co-conspirator in this process, Dr. Pat Salver. Pat, are you with us?
I am, joining you from sunny Northern California, where we desperately need the rain.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We're in a drought emergency. It's really serious. Love the sunshine and all that, but definitely we need some moisture. So I am thrilled today. We have get to meet someone other than on Twitter and talk about what's going on. We're going to talk a little bit about social media, Twitter, tweet chats in particular, and healthcare leadership. And our guest is Lisa Fields, who is the founder of Lisa Fields and Associates, a creative trainer by practice, a public speaker and social media consultant. Her passion for visual storytelling, customer relationship management, digital communication, leadership development, and conflict resolution enables her to produce results that strengthen organizations and motivate leaders and employees. Lisa has a vast and global experience as a healthcare leader. Along with her partner, Colin Hung, Lisa were recent guests at the White House due to science phenom Jack Andraka's invitation. Jack extended this invitation because Healthcare Leaders Sweet Chat is providing true innovation in education. And we are going to learn a little bit more about this very powerful Tweet Chat that takes place every Tuesday. It's called the Healthcare Leaders Chat, and it's a hashtag HCLDR. And you can learn more about that by checking out the blog, which is at hcldr.wordpress.com. So with that as a quick background on Lisa, Pat, over to you. Help us get to know this dynamic woman.
All right. Thanks, Greg. Lisa, I don't know what to say. I have like 10 jillion things I want to talk about, and we only have half hour. So I think we'll dive right in and talk about, first of all, let's just talk about Twitter as a phenomena and how it is being used, should be used or could be used in healthcare. Tell me a little bit about, you know, how you view Twitter's role in the healthcare delivery system or in healthcare.
Twitter is a powerful tool that can be used to communicate. There's so many exciting things going on in healthcare, and so many times we get bogged down by the challenges, and indeed there are challenges. But when people are talking about new ideas and doing education like we do in Healthcare Leader, one of the phrases that helps people really understand what Twitter can be is the sound of the keyboard is the new sound of applause. So when we're learning together or when a senior leader is giving a speech or there's medical conferences and things like that, when people can take what they're saying and put it in 140 characters or not, that tweet can go literally all over the world and can make tremendous differences in the way that we see leaders, in the way that we see innovation, in the way that we all learn together.
And so give me some examples of good uses of Twitter. You know, we've all heard some of the bad uses of Twitter in the healthcare field where people actually tweeted stuff they weren't supposed to be tweeting and violated confidence and so forth. And, you know, a lot of people who aren't using this tool are a little leery of it because of that. Tell me some of the ways in which you're using Twitter or you're seeing other people use Twitter to advance healthcare. And maybe that's a good segue into talking about HCLDR and how you're using that in the healthcare space.
Sure. You know, this year I think one of the great Twitter stories was Scott Simon from NPR. His mother became very ill. And so Mr. Simon started doing tweets when he was in the hospital. And not only was he doing tweets, but he also was showing pictures. And we know in Twitter, like in real life, when we can see something, it's very, very powerful. And so Mr. Simon was tweeting about his mom in the intensive care unit, and he wanted to be with her, and there wasn't a bed. And so he made this makeshift bed on the floor in the ICU unit. He wasn't complaining, Pat. He just was documenting in this beautiful way what was actually happening. And there were, once again, I see on Twitter so many leadership opportunities. So Mr. Simon was giving specific examples of how the ICU nurses were comforting him and educating him and how they were working so beautifully with his mother. It was really interesting, too, that he specifically talked a lot about the ICU nurses, and really they were educating him on the end of life. One tweet I will always remember was he talked about how much pain his mother was in. And so as healthcare leaders, you see something like that and you say to yourself, I wonder if he knows about that he could call in, for example, a palliative care consult. And maybe things like that were going on. One of the things I'm really humbled by and quite thrilled is that the healthcare leaders I see are very respectful of HIPAA. So they're following the rules, but they're still telling these incredible stories that we see every day.
And I understand that you've been using healthcare leaders, HCLDR, doesn't roll off my tongue exactly, that you've been using it as a form of education, and that's really fascinating to me, and that you have some affiliations with academic institutions. Exactly what's going on over there?
This really is innovation in education. So, for example, every week we gather together to talk about a topic. So before the chat occurs, we have a blog that we write, and I think of that, Pat, like a syllabus. So you know what the topic's going to be. You read about it. Within that blog, which I call a syllabus, really, there are three questions that we're going to be answering when we gather together. So in a way, you can study before that chat, come up with your ideas, give resources before that chat actually occurs. And in a sense, you know, if you can really understand or answer a question in 140 characters, in a sense, that really is, to me, a test that you know your topic or you've done some research on it.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's not like when we used to write those paragraphs on the kind of test that had you do open-ended paragraphs, and you would just keep writing and writing and writing and hoping
right.
that some of the words actually were on topic and,
right.
and maybe somebody would figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
140 characters, you better have figured it out.
Right. And, you know, this is a really interesting piece for another reason. One of the people that I've studied for a long time, her name is Linda Stone. And Linda Stone was in senior leadership within Apple Computer and I think it was Microsoft. And she talks about that we have continuous partial attention. Our attention spans are getting shorter. Well, once again, if you are able to come up with a very thoughtful response to any topic or talk about something and you can phrase it in 140 characters or less, then that's a really valuable skill. Some people think that sound bites aren't important, but many times sound bites help people understand a topic. And so that's another wonderful skill that can come about when people are using Twitter in a leadership way. The thing that's fascinating to me is that I have facilitated and designed leadership programs, moderated them for over 20 years, and what I see, Pat, is that I know where to go. So it's sort of like a filter. That's why I use my hashtag. That's sort of like the GPS in Twitter to go where I want to. But I promise you, I see leadership examples every single day by looking at what people are tweeting about, just like in real life.
So can you give us some examples of good leadership tweeted and maybe even bad leadership tweeted?
Oh, let's talk about the good. recently, I was really, really fascinated. One of the people that is a proud member of Healthcare Leaders is Dr. Robert Kelly, and he's the president of New York Presbyterian Hospital, and he used Twitter to talk about the highlights that happened within the hospital in 2013. Oh, it's fabulous. And so he specifically mentioned healthcare leader. He specifically mentioned that he wants to be, that we're working on him being a guest. He talked about Jack Andreka, but he met Jack through healthcare leaders. I happened to pop on because I saw that he was talking about HCLDR. Jack happened to pop on because he saw his name talked about. So then I mentioned to Dr. Kelly that I remembered that when Jack Andreka was interviewed, that Dr. Kelly wrote this very touching tweet about how his mom died of pancreatic cancer. And so there was a dialogue that's going on. I curated all this in a deck of slides. And then Dr. Marcus just became the CEO of St. Vincent's, I believe. He came on and spoke to Dr. Kelly and said that his brother had died of pancreatic cancer. So they're sharing these really authentic tweets, but none of that was set up. It just happened. And then Dr. Marcus thanked Dr. Kelly because his niece is now a physical therapy student at Columbia, which is, I believe, associated with Presbyterian Hospital. And then Jasmine Marcus came on and said that she had been born, actually, at Dr. Kelly's hospital as a preemie. So all of these really relationship-building conversations just happened because Dr. Kelly was talking about Twitter and what had happened and was using very specific examples of wonderful things that had happened that year.
Well, that's a marvelous story, and as you were speaking about it, it made me think, so what really is the magic of Twitter? Is it that I have to do it in 140 characters, or is it that the hashtag can help me to know when something I'm interested in, no matter where, can pop up in front of me?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it this asynchronous conversation, or is there some magic that has to do a little bit with anonymity? I mean, we some people use their real names and some people use handles where you're not really sure the human is. What really is the magic? What makes this work?
You know what makes it work is leadership. So we are what we tweet.
We are what we tweet. This is good.
We are what we tweet. So, for example, I many times use Twitter as a thank you note. So when I find, for example, when Dr. Marcus, he just became the CEO, it was a wonderful opportunity because he had been so kind to us, and he really was taking a risk. Twitter is like a knife. If you know how to use it, it's a wonderful tool. If you don't know how to use it, it will cut you. So he is a leader who knows, he knows how to navigate and how to be authentic. So when he became a CEO, because he's a member of our community, that's what I call healthcare leaders, everybody started welcoming him and thanking him. So that's a wonderful way to do it. When I find an article, whether it's the New England Journal of Medicine, the New York Times, what I try to do is I want to thank that person for adding knowledge in my area, in healthcare medicine. So I go to the trouble to find the title. I go to the trouble to see if they're on Twitter as the person who wrote it. And then I try to always, within 140 characters, it's not always easy, but where did I get it? It was via the New England Journal of Medicine, which, by the way, has a wonderful social media Twitter presence. They're doing so many cool things, including using these cartoons that are educational. It's really fabulous. And then putting the link. So another wonderful community is the medical education community. So their hashtag is MEDED, so medical education. And they, along with healthcare leaders, have been talking about evidence-based tweets. So I think leadership comes out of an evidence-based tweet. What is an evidence-based tweet? If I say something that I believe, then I need to back it up, and I'm going to put a link to whatever I'm talking about to prove it. That's leadership to me. Recently, Bunny Aldrin, I think it's her last name, there was a whole list of people that a woman said were healthcare leaders, and there were 100 of them. And Bunny went through that 100 and gave out tweets specifically thanking those people and commending them and congratulating them. The really interesting piece was she wasn't on that list. But it didn't matter. What mattered was, as a leader, she wanted to congratulate the other people.
I think this is marvelous. This is a really marvelous conversation. And you raise an interesting question for me, and that is for people who aren't using Twitter, and there's still a lot of people who aren't using Twitter, and there's people who are using Twitter and they're not using it in the way that you describe. How do you learn how to use Twitter in a way that's beneficial and positive? So that if we are what we tweet, you're really putting yourself out there in a way that's adding and contributing and helping you to function as a leader. How did you learn how to do it?
Oh, such a good question. I don't think there were as many tools when I started 3 years ago as there are now. But just like in real life, I chose mentors. And when I say mentor, I don't mean necessarily in the formal sense of the word. I consider Tom Peters one of my most important mentors. So I have a background in business. I always read Tom Peters' books. And when I saw him on Twitter, I was absolutely blown away because I knew it was the real person. You know, Tom Peters is brilliant, and he's got an edge. And he has this unique edge that's all about Tom Peters. So I watched what he was doing. And so, for example, as a leader, Tom Peters has tremendous followers, but he's usually thanking other people and not talking about himself. Now that we have healthcare leaders, there is mentoring going on that you can see when you go to the link, but there's so much mentoring going on behind the scenes. Twitter is not intuitive. I think that's a really important point. It is not intuitive. So I do coaching, you know, with senior leaders on my own, and they seem to really enjoy it. Once you really think about Twitter like real life, though, then that's a huge barrier to help you understand how to use it well, how to bring value. It's just like in real life. If you went to a party and someone was standing at a table and they were just talking about how fabulous they were the whole time, you might think that perhaps they might have had too much to drink, or this isn't a person you're going to want to spend the rest of the evening with. Same way with Twitter.
But for the person who's standing on the table and maybe thinks they're actually making a good impression, or who comes into Twitter and uses it inappropriately, it is one thing to learn it by, you know, trying to watch somebody. But I know, for example, Greg is the one that taught me how to tweet. I don't think I even knew what Twitter was. I think he grabbed my computer and set it up for me. If I remember right, Greg, and you can pop in and say how you recall it. That was about right. Yeah. So you set up TweetDeck, and but then there are little things like what's the right way to use a hashtag? When do you use a hashtag as opposed to, you know, using the at symbol? How do you retweet appropriately? I know one time I was tweeting away, and Greg and somebody else were tweeting away, and finally Greg sent me a DM and said, you know, you really could retweet what we're doing, and I didn't know. It wasn't that I didn't think what they were doing was interesting. I just didn't really understand retweet.
Yeah, and you know what? That's an excellent example. Greg demonstrated leadership. He didn't have to go and DM you, but he chose to do that. Here's a really important point, too, that I think is really fascinating and encouraging to me. Because I've done leadership programs for so many years, one of the things that I find unfortunate is that many people in my experience don't take feedback well. Pat, this is really interesting. I do a lot of work with medical students, too, and also physicians. As a whole, when you develop a relationship, I have never seen a group of people who are so open to specific feedback. I don't know if it's because of medical school training or residency, but it really is fascinating and very encouraging.
Well, that's interesting. I thought you were going to say something else as opposed to people being open, and I'm really glad to hear it. I mean, medical training is about, at least when I went through medical school, getting feedback all the time, but it's also over the years you build up your defenses, and it sounds like you haven't experienced that the people that you're dealing with are still remaining open even after making it their way through the brutality of medical training.
And maybe they're self-selecting by being involved in healthcare leader, because this is a different kind of organization. You know, we're really close. And I also, here's a really important point. From the very beginning, and it's really important for me to talk about Colin Hung, because I could not do this without him. And he has a totally different skill set. But from the beginning, our mission was at the end of that hour, what's one thing we all learned that will help a patient? So this is not open just to traditional clinicians or providers. Patients are a very vital point. Recently, someone asked me, they said, what's your ratio to male to female? And I absolutely had no idea, because that doesn't come onto my radar. I'm consistently thinking, what is the ratio between patients and providers, because they need each other? And I also consistently think this is a global format. So that was from the very beginning. Now, you know, Colin and I are both from North America, but I definitely wanted to partner with someone who wasn't from the U.S. because that brings in a whole other layer of learning for all of us.
So can you tell us a little bit about what a little bit about the demographics or the, you know, the type of population that's active in? It sounds like you have a lot of incredible, well-known leaders, but you must have a lot of, other people like me, ordinary folks. Tell us a little bit about, you know, about what is the makeup of the people who participate in this extraordinary tweet chat?
Let me talk about the patients first off. There are so many patients that I'm so concerned that I'll forget some of them. But, for example, Michael Weiss has been with us from the very beginning. His handle is hospital patient. And Michael, for years, has had Crohn's, and he has been hospitalized over 200 times. And golly, he's written a book. He's always positive, but he's giving specific feedback for that. L.A. Lupus, my friend Amanda, has lupus, obviously, and was one of the leaders at the TEDMED in D.C. and did a lot of work in that area. I'm always learning from her. We have a new woman. Vanessa has started like a sister healthcare leader in South Africa, and she literally almost lost her faith. She was in a terrible car accident. I think it was MRSA that came into play. She's had all sorts of surgeries to save her faith. And so now she, in fact, is doing like a healthcare leader from South Africa. We have going back to our patients, I just could go on and on. Annette from Canada has arthritis and is, they call it the SUNY, the people that have chronic pain. I was kind of embarrassed. I've known her for a year. She's an amazing tweet chat person. She has a fabulous blog I didn't even know about. And so many of our patients are involved in clinical trials. They read all the literature that the rest of us learn. So this gives them a good format. We have lots of physicians. We have music therapists, which are a really important part of healthcare leader. And that's a topic that we all love, medicine and music. So our surgeons like to talk about the music they're playing in the OR, or in the UK and Australia, they call it the theater. It's really amazing. Colin happens to be a vice president of Nightingale, I hope I get all this right, which is a medical records organization. Dan Dunlop is one of our leaders, and Dan does fabulous and wonderful healthcare marketing, which he also does education too, but I always feel like I want to say that. So the demographics are amazing, and that's why at the end of each one of our chats, we say, with one thing you learned tonight that you can use in your area of expertise to help a patient tomorrow.
And everybody responds to that.
Yeah, you can look through the transcripts. It's unbelievable. Here's another really interesting piece, Pat, because you're so involved in innovation. We're pretty doggone sure that a lot of times from healthcare leaders, people are so they know that what's coming out of it at the end or even during, that they're taking those ideas and implementing them.
It's fascinating that there's so many things that are coming out of this. One is that this is a new form of medical education, and it's flipping medical education on its ear, because when I went to medical school and for many years after that, we were all trained by somebody pushing stuff out to us, and then we tried to push it into our brain, right? That was really the model. What we know now is that people learn better when there's more active interaction, when there's problem solving, all that kind of stuff. And you're kind of building that into the tweet chat. So I think you told me, if I understood correctly, when we were chatting before we went on air, that you are actually using this in some academic institutions, that it's a part of the medical education of those academic institutions. Did I get that right?
What I've been told, and probably one of the largest groups of people that come to healthcare leaders are medical educators. And all of them say, we want to be able to build this curriculum, we want you to teach us, and then you know the next thing they say, we don't have the money. But yes, this is coming about, and part of that is mentoring that's coming out. But I can't tell you how many times at the end of the tweet chat, or, one of these people are really close friends of mine, they'll say things like, this has renewed my passion for patients. There is a lot of mentoring going on, both within the tweet chat and outside the tweet chat. And as a person who's worked with leadership, you don't learn mentoring within the walls of an institution many times. So, in the flipped classroom kind of concept is that you study, and really when the chat occurs, that's when you're demonstrating the learning that has occurred. But, with such a diverse group, the patients are learning from the clinicians are learning from the patients, and the other part that's so exciting about the learning that takes place is when you have such a diverse group of people, if it isn't in your background, your knowledge, skill, and ability, sometimes you see it with a new lens that when you say something, everybody else goes, wow, they're really on target. We never thought of it that way.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's so amazing about what you're doing. And, boy, we're going to have you back, Lisa, because I have a lot of things I want to talk to you about. But I think what I want to wrap up with is just asking you, so you've put together this amazing educational tool. You're joining patients with doctors and other people in the healthcare delivery system, and the conversations and the learning and the mentoring and all that good stuff is taking place. When are you going to go and talk to the AAMC and see if this can get formally incorporated into medical education? Because you mentioned that when you bring it up with these academics, they say, we have no money. But delivering education in this format is so much less costly than the way people are learning now. Why not have it become integrated in a part of formal medical education?
It really needs to be. And that's, as soon as somebody gives me an invite and can help fund it, that's the main point, is that this is all a labor of love. And it's ready to go. We need an invitation, and we need a sponsor.
So let's close, Lisa, by having you tell folks again how they can join Healthcare Leader, the tweet chat, giving them the information to how to find your blog, and anything else you'd like to tell about having people join and or help you with this phenomenal effort.
Great. Thank you so much. It's such a great opportunity. We gather together, people literally from all over the world, on Tuesday night at 8:30 in North America. We try to be sensitive about North America Eastern Standard Time. We always publish the blog before the chat, and you can find that HC Healthcare LDR Leader. And so the hashtag, which is like the GPS, is HCLVR, but you can find that blog by going to the @HCLDR. We have a Twitter identity. We call it the Blue Box. It's not that exciting, but it works.
Fantastic. So I can tell you that I, for one, have put this on my calendar, and I'll be joining you, and really looking forward to learning from you and from the mentors and from the patients. And I want to congratulate you on a job well done, and thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. I really, this is so exciting. Thank you. Thanks, Greg.
Well, there you have it. That'll be the last word. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Pat, for your awesome exchange. I just have teed up a tweet here for the double AMC today on Twitter. Perhaps they'll dial into the tweet chat. Maybe check out the blog. For those of you listening, check it out, hcldr.wordpress.com. Tuesday nights, as just announced, Greg Master saying thanks for listening to This Week in Health Innovation, and check us out next week. Wednesday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Greg Master saying bye now.